نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، امين يا رب العالمين. Today we will look at Surah Al-Hujurat, ayahs 11 and 12. We will look at its tafsir. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Previously we learned that some scholars call this surah, Surah of Manners and Etiquettes. The Quran not only teaches us about worship of Allah, or about the day of Qiyamah. We are reminded about these matters, not only that we are reminded to fear Allah and know that there is a Jannah and Jahannam. We also learn about manners and etiquettes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them to us. We learn manners and etiquettes that even our parents may not think about teaching their kids. Nor any school can teach them. Who is teaching us these manners? Rabbul Alameen. These are such manners that are at peak of perfection. If we hear of something in opposition to what Allah has said, as some people say, this doesn't happen. For example, we learn, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, the believers are brothers of each other. If someone says, this is only said, but not in reality, then we need to realize that whatever Allah says is the truth. Therefore, we cannot learn manners from people alone, because a person may have been hurt by someone or has gone through a certain hardship or calamity or a loss that removes their trust from people and other believers, and they start believing that they are all bad. However, in the Quran, we are taught what etiquettes to adopt with people, regardless of what we learn from people. Previously, we learned how our conduct and behavior should be towards Allah and His Messenger. The first ayah taught us, when a matter comes from Allah and His Messenger, لَا تُقَدِّمُوا, do not advance ahead. Here, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger tell us is held in equal weight. This doesn't mean they are equal in their being. We must understand every matter in its right context. So we must understand what is meant when it is mentioned that obeying Allah and His Messenger are given equal weight and obedience. It means that we obey Allah and His Messenger. It does not mean that we only believe and obey Allah in what Allah has said in the Quran, and to disregard what is said by the Prophet ﷺ in the Ahadith. Believing in Allah and His obedience is a must, but it should not be that we think it doesn't matter if we obey His Messenger or not. This is not the case. We must obey Allah and His Prophet, as the Prophet ﷺ only did and say what was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa, whoever obeys the Messenger, in fact, obeyed Allah. So whoever wants to obey Allah should obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, both obedience of Allah and His Prophet is a must. Other than that obedience, Allah and His Messenger are not equal in their being. No matter how high the ranks are of any person with Allah, even if they ascend to the heavens, he is still a slave of Allah. And Allah is the Rabb, the Sustainer, the Lord. No other being can equal to Allah. Many places in the Quran mention obedience of Allah and His Messenger mentioned together. So obedience to Allah and His Prophet is equally important, not secondary. Then we learn that when anyone brings news to us, we should verify it before taking further action. This is very applicable today. Then we learn a dua, a supplication, and learn how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorns the believer's heart with belief and puts dislike for fasuq and isyan. Then we learn that when two parties dispute, what we should do. We should not sit and watch on the sidelines, but should make an effort to reconcile between the disputing parties. Also in this, we should side with one who is dealt with injustice and one who is oppressed. At the time of reconciliation between parties, we should do it with justice and equity, because if matters between two parties are reconciled without justice and equity, then the reconciliation will not work. Therefore, it should be done with justice, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are just. And if we want Allah to love us, then we should be ones who deal justly and with equity. And when it is mentioned in فَقَاتِلُوا, this is at a higher government level, fight with those who oppress and are unjust. But at our level, it could be a dispute between our close relations, then we should be just. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the mizan, the balance, so justice is established. We learn a big lesson of being just from this. Then we learn again that believers are brothers of one another, and we should reconcile between them. Now, in Ayah 11, the believers are called out and addressed for the fourth time. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, then we should become alert and listen attentively what Allah is commanding us to do. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out and says, O you who believe, then we should immediately focus our attention to what Allah is saying to us. This command is for believers when they are in a gathering with one another. We learn what their behavior should be with each other. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids three things in this setting. We are taught basic ethics of conduct in a gathering because these are things that give rise to disputes and fights later on. First, we learn that if there is a dispute or a fight, that we should reconcile between the parties. But in the future, now we are told to stay away from certain conducts that lead to disputes and fights, or become a cause of strife among each other. These are things that cause rancor in the hearts. The environment of believers gets corrupted, and corruptions and fights occur among people in a community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la yaskhar. O you who believe, do not mock, scoff, or make fun of. First, we need to understand what is meant by yaskhar. This is not ordinary joking, rather such joking or mocking, doing it looking down on the other person, mocking the other person to put them down specifically, doing it in a way that the one mocked feels humiliated, as when a person enters a gathering and the others see them and they start mocking and laughing at them. This is not joking. This is specifically pointing out that person and mocking them. Many times, people just pick one person and humiliate them, mock at them. And one mocked cannot say anything because those who are mocking them say we are just joking. It can be mocking someone due to their lesser intellect, their lower status, or due to their ethnicity or language, how they speak. Also, people joke for their ancestry and other reasons for mockery of certain people or a person. There are such derogatory jokes made about certain cultures or people of certain areas or ethnicities or races, mocking a specific person because of their belonging to a certain mocked group of people, or even looking down on people because of lack of piety or religiosity. Mocking someone to put them down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Do not mock a people from another people, meaning mocking a different group of people. Here, قومٌ refers to men. If men are sitting together in a gathering, they should not make fun of other people or other men by mentioning their weaknesses or faults, so people start to laugh. It can be mocking or ridiculing by imitating someone how they speak. Men are told not to mock or ridicule others because asa an yakunu khayran minhum, perhaps that they are better than them. What do you know? The one you may be mocking is better than you. And we think, then how the ones we are mocking can be better than us? We look at where they live, what they wear, or any other reason. Mocking is only done when the person who is mocking considers himself better than the other person and is arrogant. If a person doesn't have any arrogance, he will never mock and put down anyone. Many times it is a feeling of self-greatness within the person that causes him to look down on someone else. As when a person drives through a certain part of town and says, poor, dirty people live here, and they say they come to our areas or workplaces. What does this thinking reflect? It shows arrogance and shows how they look down on others and consider others lowly. Saying that we go to a certain area and do charity work because there are poor and impoverished people is a different matter. But saying that poor and filthy people live there is arrogance. Does Islam allow this? And what was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we were to live at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would we find him in a rich, posh area, living in a palace, or in a home where months passed and the stove was not lit? Well, today, even in the poorest person's home, stove is lit once a day to cook at least one meal a day. What category do we put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in? And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prefer for himself? When he was asked by the companions, where would they find him on the day of Qiyamah? He said, you will find me with the miskeen and the poor people of my ummah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He taught us Muslims are brothers of each other and like one body. While we do not even consider others equal to us, we consider other Muslim brothers or sisters lower than us, and we look at their status. This is a serious matter. We have to change our mentality in light of the Quran. Just because someone has lesser knowledge than us, it does not give us permission to look down and put them down. Or because someone's way of speaking is different than ours, it does not give us the right to mock or make fun of them. We learn from a story at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A companion, Thabit bin Qais, could only hear when spoken loudly. He was the one we learned about previously. He is the one who was worried about how he spoke in a loud voice to the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have him sit near him so he would not have difficulty hearing the Prophet. One time he became late in coming, and when he came, he tried to move others so he could sit next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way, a companion he didn't know, he asked him to move so he could reach the Prophet, but he refused to move. So Thabit asked him who he was. He said, I am the son of so and so. He was angry that he didn't move, as he had asked him to. So Sabit said, "O you are son of so-and-so, whose mother is such and such woman." At that time, families had become divided, as some family members had accepted Islam and others had not. For example, the children in the family did not accept Islam while their parents had, or the wife had accepted only and the husband did not. So his parents were not Muslims and his mother did not have a good reputation in the society. So when he mentioned his father's name, the Sabit knew about his mother, who was not reputable. So his mentioning about his mother, even though Sabit did not say anything else except, "Oh, you are the son of so-and-so woman," when the Prophet ﷺ heard that, he said from his place, "O Sabit, look around you, what do you see?" Sabit said, "I see white, black, and red, all types of people. People of all backgrounds and different tribes." The Prophet ﷺ said, "The best among you is one who is most pious." Prophet ﷺ crushed the matter with this statement. So what Sabit said would not be said again. His saying even this was not appropriate. There are many ways to insult and put down people. Sometimes people put down others directly or sometimes indirectly by using certain words and style of talking to put them down. And many times even beautiful words are used to put someone down. We can understand this better when we call our kids and the response to our calling. Sometimes they respond with "yes, coming," or "what is it?" Even this, there is no bad words in what was said, but the tone is derogatory and disrespectful. Or how people respond to salutations of salam, the way they respond to others. This surah teaches us etiquette. We learn the part of beautification of our heart filled with iman is like a lamp that is lit in the heart. It is a certain beauty. So those with iman are not like this, as faith makes a person beautiful in the heart, and a person whose heart is beautified with iman will also like a person, or people with iman, and those who have love for Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This happens when there is iman in the heart. So when there is love for the other believer, would we mock them? Here we are told not to mock and ridicule, as believers could only have love for one another who believe. Just as the beloved of a parent is beloved by the child. Therefore, even while the Prophet ﷺ is not with us, we love the hearts that have love for the Prophet. Then how should be our behavior and dealings with those people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that perhaps they are better than you. What do you know? We can only look at the apparent and say how they can be better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, خَافِدَةُ الرَّافِعَةُ, many on the day of Qiyamah who were considered honorable in the world will be abased in the hereafter. Many who were considered lowly will be elevated. Today we consider lowly. We don't know what ranks they will have on the day of Qiyamah. We do not know. And we do not know those we speak honorably about what their ranks will be that day. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, many people whose hair are disheveled and they only possess two sheets of cloth and no one gives them shelter. And in another narration, if they are not present somewhere, no one mentions them or think that they are not there. They consider them unimportant and no one offers them marriage proposals nor invite them to meals. But they are so beloved by Allah that if they swear, Allah fulfills their oaths. They are so beloved by Allah. We cannot determine a person's worth by looking at their outer appearance. how they are in the sight of Allah. When Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu, when he migrated to Medina after the conquest of Makkah, whichever gathering of Ansar or the helpers he went to, he would be called son of Abu Jahl. They did not say any other word of mockery, just indicated with eyes that he is the son of so-and-so. Then Ikrimah radiallahu anhu complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people call me this way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to the companions and said, "Do not injure the living by calling that to the dead." Even while everyone knew how evil Abu Jahl was and what he did in his life, even then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not say bad about him, because speaking ill of him hurts his son." So we cannot put down and make another person feel bad. Once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said about Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha that she is short in height, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You have said such a thing that if it is put in the ocean would make it all bitter." Those who mock others in this life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them that in the hereafter the doors of Jannah would be opened for them. They will be told, "Come and enter." Despite their grief and worry, they will go running to enter the Jannah. But when they get there, the doors will be closed shut. Then another door will be opened. And then they will be called from there, "Come, come and enter." They will run towards it. Then even that door will be closed shut. Then a third door will be opened and called to enter. This will keep on happening to them. One door after another will be opened, where they will be called to enter it, but then it will be closed upon them, until they become hopeless, because they would mock people in this world. So we learn how they will be mocked there in the hereafter. And in the end, when a door of Jannah is opened, and they are called to come to it, they will become hopeless and not even go to it. This is for those who used to make fun of the true believers. If you look at the believers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among them were Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Yasir, Khabbab radiallahu anhuma. People would mock them for their poverty. And today, people are not any different. Those who consider themselves educated mock others who are lesser. Is this what the knowledge has taught us, to mock others, those who are less in financial status? Mocking these people is considered no big deal. People don't even leave mocking their own relations or friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids this conduct. And also, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ, and nor should women mock other women. Women are mentioned separately, despite the fact that this matter was stated to include both men and women. Because the way women mock other women is different than how men mock other men. Why? Asa an yakunna khayran minhun. Perhaps that they are better than them. Sometimes women mock other women because of the way they dress, or consider them lowly. Mocking can be done by not even saying anything, but just laughing. We see that qawmun min qawmin and nisa'un min nisa'in. Men should not mock other men, and women should not mock other women. Why are they mentioned separately? As men can mock women, and women can mock men, but why is this not mentioned? As we learn, these are manners of being in a gathering. It is not said for men not to mock women, and for women not to mock men, because in Islam there is no concept that men and women should sit together next to each other in a mixed gathering. This is referring to an Islamic society where believers are addressed. So gatherings of Muslims are such, and it is understood that there will not be mixed gatherings. There are some stories mentioned in reference to this ayah. Amr bin Sharabil stated that, "If I see a person drinking from goat's udder, and if I laugh because of it, I fear that I will become like it." Abdullah bin Mas'ud said that even if I joke with a dog, I fear that I will be turned into a dog. While if we look at ourselves, we make fun of people who are disabled, without any fear or thought that the same condition may befall us. Once Imam Bukhari was sitting next to a blind man who did something that made him laugh. So he sought forgiveness from him. He said, "He cannot see that I am laughing, but Allah can see that." Likewise, Allah knows what is in someone's heart and how much faith is in the heart of someone, how pious someone is, and which deed of this person is beloved by Allah. We cannot know what is the person's station with Allah. While we may mock them, someone's apparent condition may not be good, but what is in the person's heart? He may be crying to Allah in privacy, or because of a certain good they do, Allah may have forgiven them. We do not know. The next thing mentioned is, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not تَلْمِزُوا. This is the same word used in Surah Al-Lumazah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Do not defame someone. This is done specifically with eyes. The way we look at someone and roll our eyes or indicate, all of this is included. For example, someone enters a gathering and they don't say anything, but only their facial expression reveals the fault in someone. This is humaza. So do not defame or make sarcastic remarks. Here it says, anfusakum, yourselves, while it is done against another person. This is said because when a person defames or taunts another, then the other person may not sit quietly. Even if they don't respond and keep silent, will he be happy in the heart? And will he say thank you for that behavior? There is no one person who is without any faults or shortcomings. Everyone has a shortcoming, and one defamed may see your fault and then have an excuse to defame you. When a person slanders another, they open the door for the other person to retaliate and do the same. Defaming is not done so the other person corrects their behavior, because when a person wants the other person to correct their wrongful behavior, he would advise them in a good way. Even a child, if he has to be advised, a parent would take them on the side and say in a good way not to do something. When do it in a gathering, it is putting them down to show them lowly in front of other people. So someone defames another person in front of another and humiliates them. This is not done with a good intention or a purpose. So humaza is by looking with eyes in a certain manner, done to put down someone. And this is done when people focus on faults of other people, not looking at the good they have in them. Just as a fly that sits on felt, some people look for faults in others and dwell on that. This includes making comments about personal appearances of other people. When a person targets the bad of other people and overlooks the good in them, this is finding faults in others. And if anyone wants to make a place in someone's heart, they should commend them for whatever good is in them, and also to give gifts. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us the secret to increase love with others by giving them gifts. When we remember and think of something bad about the other person, we should stop oneself and remember that Allah forbade us from this. Looking for faults in others or mocking them even saying in a taunting way, causes strife. When a person focuses on one's own faults, they will not find or look for faults in others. Only when a person does not look at their own faults, they tend to focus on other people's faults. This happens a lot in relations and friends, but mostly relations. Even kids, this is when people start avoiding and stop spending time. If we notice this, then we should realize that there is something wrong that we are doing.